Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, all great things. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm very excited about this week's show because my special guest interview is with a very good friend of mine, Dr. Joey Fawcett. I recently interviewed Joey for my Ride the Rebound Mastermind and Coaching Group, and it was such a powerful interview, I thought, you know what, I also need to be sharing this information with the listeners of Stick Like Glue Radio. So I actually introduced Dr. Joey at the beginning of the interview, so let's just roll tape and get right to it.
All right, folks, so Dr. Joey Fawcett is the internationally known author of the number one best-selling book, Work Positive in a Negative World, Redefine Your Reality and Achieve Your Business Dreams, which is an awesome book title. He is a professional speaker who coaches business professionals to increase sales with greater productivity so they leave the office earlier to do what they love with their family and friends, leading individuals and organizations of every size to achieve amazing results. Now, Joey is the founder of Listen to Life, a business coaching program that helps entrepreneurs and owners and leaders, sales professionals, to achieve their business dreams primarily through his coaching programs, 7 Weeks to Work Positive, the Work Positive Master Coaching Program. He is also the founder of the Positive Media Network. Yes, there is a Positive Media Network, and it's a fully customizable online streaming music marketing tool. His blog is read in over 50 countries, and he's just really an awesome human being, a great friend of mine. Joey, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend some time with the Ride the Rebound Mastermind Group. I really appreciate it.
Wow, Jim, you know, I'd do anything for you. If I could do a cartwheel, I'd do it for you. So, yeah, thanks for having me on today. I appreciate that.
If you're wearing a headset, don't take the unplug that first before you do your cartwheel.
Watch this.
Yeah. Hey, so Joey, I want to unpack. I usually do on these calls, as I mentioned before we got started. It's a 25-minute call. I want to pack as much content in as I can. So,
and,
you know, we have a wide-ranging kind of group of members in my mastermind group. We have dentists, podiatrists, we have web developers, marketers, copywriters, accountants, engineers, thought leaders, probably even somebody out off the top of my head, but it's a pretty wide-ranging group. And yet, no matter what any of us do for a living, it's just, you know, we try to practice positive thinking. And I think most of us on this call are part of the no news filter, you know. But the fact is, we live in such a negative world, it is hard to escape. And to the degree that we let negativity creep into our environment, I'm just convinced that it does affect us to make decisions, to grow and to be confident. That's why I was so thrilled to get you on this call. So let's dive in with my first question. In your book, the first thing I want to ask you is, you talk about the kind of the five main areas of working positive in a negative world, and I'm talking about perceive, conceive, believe, achieve, and receive. So, and this is kind of a somewhat short call, as I imagine. Can you give us like a thumbnail of each one of those?
Absolutely, Jim. Absolutely. These are the five core practices that I discovered primarily from businesses and their founders that were started during the Great Depression, back when the Great Recession started. And, of course, I'm a conscientious objector, but nonetheless, it's affected all of us in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So I went back into the Great Recession, did a lot of research that you can read about in the book there, Work Positive in a Negative World, and discovered that these five core practices were really the daily habits of people like Dale Carnegie and Harlan Sanders, Bill Hewlett, and Dave Packard. So what I discovered was, first, they perceive the positive at work, and this is the mental dynamic. In 1952, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale wrote The Power of Positive Thinking, And that was sort of the apex, if you will, of all the information and research that people like Napoleon Hill and others did during the Great Depression and before. What I discovered is that these incredibly fantastic business developers from the Great Recession, Great Depression rather, whose businesses do multi-billion dollars worth of business today, they perceive the positive. What does that mean? They focus on the positive and filter out the negative. Focus on the positive and filter out the negative. In other words, Jim, this is not some rose-colored glasses experiment or namby-pamby or, you know, Buddhist kind of thing where you just say, hey, evil does not exist, negativity doesn't exist in the world. Oh, yeah, it does. Well, what you want to do, as the subtitle of the book says, is redefine that reality. So what you want to do is focus your mind like a muscle, and you really can develop mental memory just like you can muscle memory. You want to focus on the positive and filter out the negative. So that was the first thing I discovered they did in the perceived core practice. The second thing was they conceived the positive at work, and this is the social dynamic of a work positive lifestyle. So here you are, you're focusing on the positive, filtering out the negative, and you're really starting to move in positive ways and have a positive being. But you discover that other people aren't on that same plane with you. And so what they're doing is living out of negativity. Now, like attracts like. True. So you begin attracting more positive people, but the reality is we still have some negative people in our sphere of influence and contact. And I like to, as you know, call those negative people by a pet name I have for them, Eeyore vampires. Because they do resemble Eeyore a bit. It'll never work, you know. And yet they are, I mean, you get that. Every team meeting, everybody listening has more than themselves working for in a business. You get that from time to time. But they're also vampires because these people go home with you. And like you're sitting, in your case, with your grandson, new grandson in your lap, and there's that Eeyore. The sun's gone down, and instead of being Eeyore, they become a vampire. And so they're sucking time and energy and attention away from Nate and your experience with him. So how do you deal with negative people without becoming one? These Great Depression business leaders figured out a way to do that. And so they could conceive the positive at work after they perceive it. So you've got your mental and your social dynamics. The third dynamic is an emotional dynamic, Jim. I believe the positive at work. This is where you engage with your imagination in your business. This is, just as a caveat, this is probably the area in my own coaching programs and working with business people across the country. The lack of imagination is astounding to me. What happens is the negative world just crowds out creativity and innovation. Well, you either create and innovate or you dissolve and disintegrate in this fast-changing world today, right? So the Believe Core practice is where you engage your imagination and you begin to understand that resources converge in ways that you haven't influenced or manipulated, and they sort of come together at times in unexplainable ways. So you begin to believe, and that's your emotional engagement with your work. So I perceive it mentally, I conceive it socially, I believe it emotionally. When I do those three things, which are mostly interior work, then I'm ready to achieve the positive at work. And this is a physical dynamic. This is where I make sure I act strategically. I use my time, energy, attention, and other scarce resources in very productive ways. And I focus on doing those things. You know, we talk about 80-20, 20% bring you 80%. We really focus in and hone in on those activities with those persons that bring us the greatest profitability, financially as well as otherwise. Satisfaction in work certainly being right up there with financial. So I achieve it after I believe it emotionally, after I conceive it socially, and after I perceive it mentally. Now, Jim, you and I have talked before. You know that I thought in my research I was done when I found that fourth core practice. Because, I mean, what else could there be after you achieve it physically? Well, I discovered that these Great Depression business leaders and developers did something absolutely astounding. They realized and put into their business practices the reality that what goes around really does come around, and that you truly do reap what you sow. And so they became very philanthropic with their community. They became very servant-oriented. Most of them followed the 10 organizational principles of Robert Greenleaf's servant leadership. I mean, they just really were very intentional about making sure that they tithed back, gave back into their community, served their community in ways that recognized, hey, these people, in Harlan Sanders' case, these people buying my chicken, in Hewlett and Packard's case, these people buying our electric motors, these are the ones who are keeping our lights turned on and putting money in our pockets. So we want to create a better space and place in our community of greater positivity. And so they realized then, I receive the positive at work. I like to think of that as sort of an ethical dynamic of your business, so that you understand that you're put here to make money for sure, to make lots of money for sure, but also to create a better living place and space for people in your community.
Wow. That is so incredible. You know, I mentioned to you, I was just back from speaking at the Thinking Grow Rich Summit. And so much of what you're talking about, first of all, the time frame of where you went back to do a lot of your research, the Great Depression, I mean, it's clearly what Napoleon Hill did.
Absolutely.
You know, when he wrote that book, and, you know, it just so happens, Joey, that we have two people in our group, Tony Rubleski and Paul Guyon, actually were the folks who put on this. So they're actually in my group, and I'm sure they're just loving what you're saying there. The other thing, before I get to my next question, is you talk about, you know, giving back. And so I was asked to do a 30-minute presentation on how to program your life for success, and my final bullet was to talk about the power of giving back. And obviously, we reap what we sow, both in life and in business. So, man, I'm looking out my window at my beautiful flowering trees. And I'm listening to you. I said, "Whoa, focus!" Because, man, you're singing the song.
Oh, wow!
Same hill, as they say.
Well, thank you. Well, think of me as a little bird in that flowering tree. Then
there we go.
The one that's on key. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to pause here for a very brief timeout, but on the other side, I'm going to ask Dr. Joey what he means about doing mental surgery on yourself. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In the best-selling book, No BS Direct Marketing, legendary marketer Dan Kennedy said this, "My single biggest recommendation is the use of a monthly customer newsletter. Nothing, and I mean nothing, maintains your fence better." Dan is absolutely correct. The truth is, for just about any business owner, the greatest potential for new business and higher profits lies within its current customer base. Stronger customer relationships yield higher sales and more profits, and a monthly newsletter is the best relationship-building tool, bar none. Unfortunately, for many entrepreneurs, the struggle of producing a newsletter every month is too much, and it just doesn't get done. But no longer. Every month, No Hassle Newsletters members get 24 pages of Jim's famous customer-loving content and his amazing ready-to-go newsletter templates. Your company's No Hassle Newsletter will generate more repeat and referral business in less than 1 hour per month. Join the hundreds of entrepreneurs already using No Hassle Newsletters at www.nohasslenewsletters.com. That's www.nohasslenewsletters.com.
And we're back. So let's get right back to my very special interview with Dr. Joey Fawcett.
And in the second chapter of your book, you write about focus your thoughts. I think focus is hugely important. Again, I talked about that. But you have a cool thing, like the sub-chapter there, mental surgery might be necessary. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, mental surgery. Most people, business people included, think that they're subject to economic cycles, to sort of a washover, if you will, Jim, a tsunami of whatever's happening in the world around them. And yes, we're touched by it, we're influenced by it, we do have contact with it, but so often we allow the larger economic picture to affect how we look at our specific economic picture. For instance, I listen to the leading experts on, you know, whatever channel you watch, and then that forms my mental model for what I bring to my business. Mental surgery is necessary because most of that stuff's just crap. It has nothing to do with my business. These people oftentimes aren't even owning businesses or doing businesses in the world today. So the mental surgery is to cut out negativity, literally surgically remove negativity from your life. And there's several ways of doing that. One is, what do you expose yourself to in the morning? In fact, my Work Positive blog this week, which your mastermind group is more than welcome to go to our website at listentolife.org and get that absolutely free. Comes out every Monday, and that seems to be most people's negative day of the week. We fire that out on Mondays. But, if you just give yourself 10 minutes three times a day, and that's what my blog's about this week, 10 minutes in the morning, and what you do is you take 5 minutes and you read something positive or listen to positive music. YouTube makes it really easy to find all sorts of positive songs. You've heard me talk before about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I won't back down. That's you can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. I mean, that's just a really empowering song for me. And then there's some other songs on there I listen to as well. Just reading some kind of short inspirational thing. You mentioned Napoleon Hill earlier. His foundation tweets out some great content every morning that I enjoy reading. So, just expose yourself to that for about 5 minutes and soak in that. And then with the other 5 minutes in the morning, visualize your appointment schedule for the day and see satisfied customers or patients. See an agreement signed. See some positive results coming out of those appointments. And because, you're visualizing it, you're setting yourself up to succeed that way. Then around midday, and man, business lunches have just sucked all of the midday break out, haven't they? So instead, even if you have to do that, take 10 minutes for yourself that day. And I really encourage you to get out in the fresh air and walk. If you can't get out in the fresh air and walk, here today for me it's raining, so I'm walking around my home. Fortunately, my wife's not here to think that I'm pacing or something. But, just walk and get some exercise. And the other thing is, if you get tired of walking by yourself, call a friend that you haven't spoken with in a long time and just spend 5 minutes on the phone recalling some great times from the past. So that's your midday break and your breakfast break. Your supper break, before you leave, take 5 minutes and complete a task, whether it's somebody you've been meaning to email all day, whether it's just shuffling papers around, getting your desk straight for the next morning. Do something that it takes you about 5 minutes to finish. Then spend the other 5 minutes of those 10 at the end of the day being grateful for some positive experience that happened that day. Now, Jim, I know there are days where it's hard to find something positive that happened that day, but, hey, at least say to yourself, they didn't collect on the note today, or we kept the lights on today. There's got to be something you can scratch around and find positive that happened. But typically there's a client that you helped succeed today, or I know at the end of my day, I'll be very grateful to have had this interview with you. There's just always something you can find at the end of the day. So that mental surgery means replacing the negative influences and behaviors in your life with the positive. I just think of them as breakfast, lunch, and supper, 10 minutes at each, and you've performed mental surgery.
So we're down to about 10 minutes. First of all, it's not that hard to find something positive. As I say, if you wake up, open your eyes, and put your feet on the floor, it's a good day.
yeah,
we're recording
that's exactly
this.
Right.
It's very early May, and I think inside of about 4 months, I've been to 4 funerals this year. My 82-year-old father-in-law says, he goes, it gets worse, Jim, as you get older. But, seriously, if you wake up and you're healthy and you put your feet on the floor, man, that's a good day. The other thing, you said something kind of like breaking routine, going out for a walk and things like that. I am learning to do pattern interrupts in my day, my schedule. I'm very organized. I'm very systematic about the way I approach my day. But I realize there are times when I need to stop and do something different. As a quick example, I was flying home from Orlando this past Saturday morning. I was going to write up my notes. I actually bring some of my cards, so I write handwritten notes and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the flight happened mm-hmm. to have go-go, so I was going to jump online. And a mm-hmm. woman sat down next to me and asked me what I did, so I engage in a little conversation. We talked for 2 hours. I never turned on my computer the entire flight. Literally about half an hour, 45 minutes, again at 2 hours, 2:15, my voice in my head going, oh, gosh, I wish I could just disengage and do a little bit of work. But I kept realizing this woman needs to talk. As I learned, she's alone. She's never married, no kids. I think she just wanted to have a conversation. And so internally I'm slapping myself, stop thinking about work and just enjoy some time with this woman. So it pays. We need it interrupted our time. The final thing, and then I got to ask you another question. I'm going to plant a seed, so I don't want to necessarily engage in feedback. So I'm just going to plant a seed with you. You mentioned that you have your blog about every Monday morning, and since this is my mastermind, this is when I'm most creative, I just had a coding moment. I'm going to give you a coaching tip. What I think, Monday morning is so busy for a lot of people to email. I think what you deliver is so valuable. You might want to reframe it and just consider having it come out 7 o'clock on Sunday night, and so it's pre-framing so you can have a very positive week instead of lumping in with everybody's onslaught of email on Monday morning. And I'm happy to talk with you offline. I don't want to take any more time. I just want to share that before I forget and move on. That's just another, just a little tip there for you.
Oh, that's a fascinating tip. My daughter and I were having a conversation. She helps me with some of my social media stuff, and we were having a conversation about that very thing today. So when I hear something once, I pay a little attention. When I hear it for the second time, I've got my full attention in it. So thanks, Jim. I appreciate that. We'll make that change this week. Yeah.
All right. So, Joe, in the belief section of the book, you write about how does your belief in your business grow? Like, how do we, as entrepreneurs, I think everybody in this group is positive in nature, but the very fact that they've said, yes, they want to invest in this coaching program, they're investing in not only their money but their time, means they are positive, they believe in their business, and they want to grow. So how do you increase belief where you can, you know, because wealth rewards risk, wealth rewards speed of implementation, and all that comes from, I think, having a little more confidence in facing down fear and being in action. So what do you say about that, the belief in your business?
Yeah, the belief in your business, and you touched on one of the two things I'd say in response to that, Jim. One is the fear. And in the Achieve Core practice, we really take on some of those fears in that section, Intention is the Road to Nowhere. Because I think business owners oftentimes intend to do things, but fear blocks them. Or, excuse me, let me say it a little more proactively, they allow fear to block them. And so there's some kind of fear. I've been doing some internal work myself recently and found some limits I had placed on myself that were around some fears that I have. I really wasn't even aware of them. They were just so much a part of me. But through working with a great friend, I was able to discover those, and so we've been able to move forward. So be aware that fear is a part of all of our journeys, and that really does block that Believe Core practice from you emotionally engaging with your work to use your imagination in the full sense. And Dr. Peel talks a lot more about that in The Power of Positive Thinking than we've got time for here. So just, I'm sure all of your members have read that book, but go back and reread it with that lens on. The second thing I'd say is once you've dealt with the fear, then it's really a matter of your self-imposed limits on your business. You know, how the mental model that you bring to your business is really also driven by your emotions. And so there's a whole host of other things, and without going into a bunch of psychobabble about that, there are a whole host of reasons why you limit the size of your business. Most of it is because of what you've seen demonstrated and those five people that you spend the most of your time with, and the way that their business models grow and things like that. So sometimes changing your association or going to someone whose business might be larger or more strategically effective for a work positive lifestyle than yours, and just going to them and saying, hey, let me shadow you, let me learn from you, let me walk alongside you. Because what you want to do is emotionally engage at a deeper level than you have previously. And that's possible once you deal with the fear that you might have.
That's awesome. We're about 4 minutes. I got time for one more question. You know, in chapter 19, you have, it says, squeeze yourself dry. I have to ask about squeeze yourself dry. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it really is. Well, that's out of that Receive Core practice, Jim, in which you're giving back to your community, in which you're looking for ways to serve. I really see my businesses, and I know that you do too, as conduits. And what we're doing is passing on a lot of the great stuff that we receive, whether it's information like we're doing today or wisdom, or even money. And so the imagery that I use there, the metaphor I use in that chapter is if I put a sponge under flowing water spigot. I prefer water spigot instead of faucet, by the way. So you put that sponge under the open tap there, and it'll hold so much water. If you leave it under there a minute, it'll hold a certain amount of water. If I leave it under there an hour, it's not really going to hold any more water. If I leave it under there a week, it's not going to hold any more water. Until I do what? Until I squeeze it and release that water. Then I can take on new water. And so I really think of my businesses as sponges. You know, we can absorb so much information, so much knowledge, so much money, and then we squeeze out and give to our community. Tithe ideas, you and I have discussed that before numerous times. You know, there's only so much time, energy, and attention we have as single human beings. So tithing ideas to other people who can make it their unique contribution to make to the world is an essential part of squeezing yourself dry. So finding ways to benefit others, because as Zig said so many times and so many wonderful years ago, you know, when you help other people get everything they want, then you get everything you want. That really opens yourself. You talk about dealing with your fears and getting rid of your limits with the Belief Core practice. That really helps you receive a work-positive lifestyle.
That's so cool. You know, I do, and depending which group I'm talking to, I do talk about tithing, not only money, but, you know, we're supposed to give our time.
You
know, we're all blessed with certain skills and talents, and we're supposed to, you know, use those to help others, especially those less fortunate. But you said something really cool, and I've heard it before. Tithing ideas. I used to think it was gift ideas. When you gift somebody an idea, you give it to them, and then it's just, it is a gift. In other words, I want you to have this. Whatever you do with it, it's yours, even though, you know, I came up with a thought about it. And that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. So,
it's very empowering.
Isn't that something? You know, that's part of why I like coaching so much, because I come up with ideas and share them and give them to people. And just, you know, I so enjoy watching them grow and you know, in a lot of cases, have them implemented. You know, whenever I do these
absolutely.
Calls,
you've never run out of ideas, have you, Jim? I mean, you keep giving them away, but you never run out, right?
Isn't that
cool?
Wired, I guess. You
know, yeah, so, I mean, you reap what you sow.
That's right. So let me close with this. You know, I always do these calls. I try and pack as much into them as I can. And I always have this slight little kind of concern that, well, now what? You know, it's just like going to a seminar. Now what? So, Joey, outside of, you know, jumping over to Amazon and getting your really great book, Work Positive in a Negative World, Redefine Your Reality and Achieve Your Business Dreams, what's maybe one or two things that the folks listening to this right now could do either today out of the call or first thing in the morning, one or maybe two things could they do to really, you know, again, kind of accentuate their positive, because I believe everybody on the call is a positive person, but really take that to a new height and also erect an even stronger, you know, concrete wall to keep the negative out.
Yeah, you use the imagery of a concrete wall. I refer to it as a border guard. I mean, you got to be vigilant 24/7 around the borders of your mind. First thing, very specific tip and strategy I'd recommend you do, and this goes back to the mental breakfast, lunch, and supper. First thing I'd encourage you to do is to leave the TV off in the mornings. Just step away from the remote.
Yep.
Please don't touch it. And spend those 10 minutes, five, reading and listening to positive literature or music, and five, visualizing positive outcomes for your day. The second thing I would encourage you to do is to participate in what I like to call the gratitude diary. And this can be, I mean, you can put a leather-bound book beside your bed with blank pages in it, or, you know, pull the Hampton Inn pad out of your luggage like I do so often and put it beside your bed and write down 10 minutes before you go to sleep now, Jim, write down three positive experiences you had that day. And what you're doing is you're seeding those positive experiences from that day into your subconscious, which you will process all night long through dreams, visions, and other ways that your brain operates. And when you wake up in the morning, you'll be more refreshed than you can ever imagine. You will have slept more deeply into a deeper REM sleep than you can imagine. And you will be more prepared tomorrow by doing those two single activities than anything else I can tell you about the Perceive Core practice.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, they say whatever you're thinking about or watching or reading right before you go to sleep really has a big impact on how well you sleep and what you think about the next day.
Totally, totally. Well, like right now, you and I have talked about rereading books before that we really enjoy. Sean Acher wrote a book, A-C-H-O-R. Sean Acher wrote a book called The Happiness Advantage. And so I'm reading portions of that each night before I go to sleep again, just about 30 minutes or so prior to my gratitude diary. Just makes such a big difference because your mind's got wonderful stuff. You're watching the 10 or 11 o'clock news. You're trying to put out a fire, stop crime, speeding bullets, leap tall buildings, things like that. That just doesn't work. You toss all
now,
night.
And you know what? Tonight I'm going to tell Stephanie I do not want Dancing with Stars on when I'm going to fall.
Hey, let me know how that works out for you, buddy.
Yeah, right. Thank you so much. Now, outside of getting your book, what's one of the websites you want our folks to go to learn more about you?
ListenToLife.org. That's listentolife.org. And there you can watch a free webinar about our most popular coaching program, 7 Weeks to Work Positive, in which you get a video and handouts, unlimited email support from me, and then we bundle some other coaching programs in there with it. You can catch that free webinar video all about that.
I hope you enjoyed this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with my good friend, Dr. Joey Fawcett. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I'm your host, Jim Palmer, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.